If you would, turn in your Bibles. We don't go to Acts today. We go to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. Galatians is considered by many to be the earliest book of Paul. Some think that it's 1 Thessalonians. We don't know. But we do know that Galatians is very early and 1 Thessalonians is very early. And we see Paul not long after what we're about to go into in Acts chapter 9. You remember that Paul was not the Paul that you're about to see in Galatians chapter 1. Paul was Saul, and he was a vicious, vicious religious nut. Anytime someone in their religion wants to terrorize, kill, and maim, you know that that is not of God when they do that. And Paul, we will see next week, will go around being absolutely vicious, imprisoning and killing people. And that is before he came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And next week, God is going to stop that man on the Damascus Road. If anybody can get a hold of a terrorist, it's the power of God's Holy Spirit to get that man. A light's going to shine on him. And Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? But Saul didn't persecute Jesus. We don't know where Paul was or Saul was when Jesus was on earth. But what he did do was persecute the church of God. And there's such a symbiotic relationship between God's people and Jesus that when Saul goes around persecuting God's people, it actually impacted the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Why do you persecute me? But you see, Galatians is a testimony to the absolute converting power, transforming power of God. So now we see Paul in Galatians several years after he's been born again. And it's interesting because as I listen, and I try not to listen much to preachers today, and I get in trouble because I talk about preachers. One guy was very offended, came and visited our church, didn't like it that I talked about preachers. But as I tell you, I am ashamed in many senses to be a preacher. Why? Because today you hear all sorts of things mixed with the gospel. If you listen to preachers, you will find out the vast majority of television stations that are owned by Christians merely have preachers that get on there and teach what's called the prosperity gospel. That the gospel is somehow God wants you to be healthy, wealthy, and wise. Or there's some other form of the word gospel that is mixed with error and that makes these preachers look horrible. And it absolutely is stunning. And I wonder to myself, have they ever read what Saul the terrorist, once he was converted, said about the tremendous responsibility that Christians have to maintain the purity of the gospel in their preaching? So we want to go to Galatians. And Galatians is a book. Paul the terrorist is now Paul the apostle. He's writing to a group of Christians that mixed the gospel with foreign elements. What did they say? They were saying that you are saved not only by God's grace, but you have to keep the Mosaic law. They mixed the gospel with foreign elements. You see, the gospel's central focus is upon the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, who took the sinner's place upon the cross, and that by a simple childlike faith in Jesus Christ, we are saved. But these people, Paul had gone through to this group, taught them well in the gospel, and then when he left, there were other preachers that came in and quickly perverted the true gospel of Jesus Christ. If we would ask you, what is the true gospel of Jesus Christ? Would you be able to tell the purity of the gospel? That's why we celebrate communion today. This is a testimony of the purity of the gospel. Look what Paul says here. We want to go to Galatians. Paul has a greeting in 1 through 4, and usually Paul would say something nice about people. He's even said something nice about Corinth, and all they did was have factions and fight. This group in Galatia started to mix the gospel of Jesus Christ with foreign elements that didn't belong. And Paul emphasizes in verse 4 the essence of the gospel, Jesus who gave himself for our sins. What's that called? You know the fancy theological term? For Jesus Christ gave himself. He made him who knew no sin to be made sin on our behalf, that we would become the righteousness of God in him. Does anybody know the fancy theological term for that? Substitutionary atonement. When's the last time you had a sermon on this? Jesus took our place as a sinner. You won't hear that from pulpits today. It's because we've started mixing foreign elements with the gospel. It says here, Paul says, who gave himself for our sins. Listen to me, you cannot earn your way to heaven. Jesus Christ is the one, through his sacrifice, who paid the cost so that you could become God's child. That he might deliver us out of this present evil age. What's this age Paul calls? And that's, he knew it. He went around murdering people. He went around. You ever heard of El-Baghdadi in the news? You know all of these? Paul was no different. But you see, the power of God is greater than the hate of this evil world. It says, to whom be glory forever. Look at verse 6. This is why you will never see me ever want to ever mix the gospel with a foreign element of the grace of God. Here is what Paul says. No, I thank God for you. No, you're such a great group. Here it is in verse 6. I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a, ready? Different gospel. Now, what that means in Greek is this. That is a gospel mixed with foreign elements. Would our Christian people know when the gospel is mixed with foreign elements? There are people that will tell you that in order to be saved, you must speak in tongues. It's a lie from the pit of hell. There are people that will tell you that for you to be saved, you have to have some religious authority, dressed in a dress with jewelry, get you in. It's a lie from the pit of hell. And the word here that Paul uses, different, means different mixed with foreign elements that don't belong there. You like a milkshake? What do you like in your milkshake? I like vanilla ice cream. Do you add chocolate to it? How about nuts? How about M&Ms? This is what, in many senses, preachers are doing today. They're adding to the essential nature of the gospel by adding to the grace of God, by telling you somehow you need some religious figure dressed in a fancy hat with religious jewelry or whatever. You know how these religious authorities dress up that way? Now, I know why cops dress that way, because now, Jan didn't make anybody afraid, but wait till you see Jan or one of them in their uniforms. Or flashing lights. But you see, these religious authorities do that, trying to make you think that they have some power when they don't. It's the grace of God through what Jesus Christ has done as a free gift. I am amazed that you went to a different mixed gospel, which is not really another. Well, what does Paul mean? Different and not really another. The word another means of the kind the same kind that you knew when I was there. And that's what we proclaim in communion. The same gospel that Paul proclaimed in its purity. What is the gospel in its purity? That Jesus Christ, God sent His Son, for God so loved the world that He what? His only Son, that whomever what? Trusts in Him. You start messing with that. And many preachers do. You start messing with the fact that God saves us by His grace through trust in what Jesus has done. He made Him who knew no sin to be made sin in our behalf. For by grace you are saved through what? And not of yourself. It is a what? There's the essence and purity of the gospel. But that's not what you get today with these bozos in the pulpit. You get everything but. And that's what we celebrate when we proclaim the gospel. It has to be clear, the gospel, that you cannot work your way to God. That He, by His grace, Jesus took our place and bore the punishment for sin, is the purity of the gospel. And every preacher needs to make sure that he is focused on that purity and adding nothing to the purity of that gospel. Look what Paul says, which is not really another of the same kind, verse 7. Only there are some who disturb you. Now here is what Paul says about preachers that don't focus on the true gospel. They're disturbers. That would mean, forgive me, but I would say 99.999% of preachers on the radio and preachers on television are disturbers of the gospel. Because they've left the purity of the grace of God and that Jesus bore our sins. They're disturbing you. Now watch what he says. I think every preacher and every seminary student needs to hear this, what Paul will say. This is Paul the terrorist. After God got a hold of him, he became Paul the evangelist. He knew the essence of the gospel. He knew the purity of what we proclaim in communion. Look what he says. But even though we, or even an angel from heaven, preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you. What's the gospel again? The purity of God's grace through Jesus, who took the sinner's place on the cross so that He, by His grace, could make us His children. Here's what Paul says. If a preacher or anybody steps away from that purity of the gospel, look what he says. Let him be what? What does your translation say? New American Standard, which that's my King James for me. I mean, the kids come in with ESV now and all sorts of stuff, and there's all sorts of translations, NIV, ESV. I still have stuck to the New American Standard because if it was good enough for Paul, it was good enough for me. That's a joke. What does your Bible version say there? Well, you have no idea. They've actually cleaned that up. Okay, thank you, Mark Truman. Here is what the word means in the Greek. This is how serious Paul took the gospel and why I will not play with the gospel in any way but to make sure the clarity of the substitutionary atonement of what we proclaim in communion. Here is what the word accursed means. You ready? Let anyone who messes with the gospel of Jesus Christ be, are you ready? Damned. What would that tell you? There's a lot of preachers going to hell. If I mess with the gospel and mix elements in it that are foreign, if I mix with the grace of God anything but that Jesus took our place, bore the punishment, and that we get Jesus' righteousness by an act of simple childlike faith, if I mess with that in any way and add another element, Do you know what that brings upon the preacher that does that?
Death.
Let that preacher be damned. Oh, wow. That's heavy. That's why I don't listen to preachers. You know, you'd be better not to listen to preachers, including me. You'd be better to read the Word of God yourself. How do you like that? Let him be damned. Now watch what he says. That stunned him. You know what he's telling those people? By the way, those were professing Christians that came into Galatia and began to pervert the grace of God. And he said, if they do that, all of those preachers that came in, let them be damned. Then look, watch what he says. And as we have said before, so I say again, if any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to that which you receive, let him be what? How many times, Paul, have you said that in the context? You know why Paul repeats that? He wants to make sure you're listening. Repetition is what? The key to learning. The key to learning is what? Where are the people that fear God that won't mess with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Where are they? Do they not know that there is damnation to a preacher that would mess with it? That's scary. I won't mess with it. Paul says if a preacher begins to mess with the grace of God, starts to have seeker sensitivity and water down things, you know what? The wage of that is? If I, or even an angel from heaven. Then I love what Paul says. Verse 11. For now am I seeking the favor of men or of God? Now that's why I tell you in church, I'm not afraid of you. I know people don't like my preaching. I know that I'm not seeker sensitive. I know that I am a controversial dude that will stick to the subject. I know that, but I'll tell you something. I have a divine obligation. And I know one thing, the crowd will turn on you fast. You know the crowd that yelled, Hosanna, Hosanna to Jesus on Sunday or Monday? What did they do on Thursday? Crucify him! Oh, the crowd will really turn on you. But there's one thing that I never want to happen is God turning on me, because there is a hard commandment that's given. You're threatening damnation if you mess with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Paul says, am I trying to please men with that? See, I can't please you. I'm not gonna either. It says a preacher has to please God by preaching the purity of the gospel of Jesus Christ. If I were seeking the favor of men or of God, or if I'm striving to please men, if I were still trying to please men, I would not be what? There it is. Now, a preacher doesn't have to be an idiot. Doesn't have to be, some of these preachers, you know, are idiots. But I'll tell you something. A preacher that pleases the crowd, you know what seeker sensitivity is? You say, well, I don't want, crosses offend. Churches are removing the name Bible. There's a church in Oxnard that has removed the name Bible. I'm going to get controversial. Well, they got a great group of people over there. Well, they remove the word Bible and people take out the cross. We don't want to offend people, do we? Well, they're seeking to strive to please men. I'm not afraid of you. You can fire me today. Hold the elders' meeting, I'll leave. But if I try to please men and get seeker sensitive, am I a bondservant, a slave of Jesus Christ? Yes or no? So you look at all those preachers. Are they preaching Joel Osteen? Let's make another name. Huh? You think he's seeker sensitive? You hear the gospel from him? But he sure can build a church. 70,000 in the Houston Rocket Dome. And all we have are these little group of people. Every preacher needs to know this, and every Christian. You mess with the gospel of Jesus Christ, and you try to please men, you are not pleasing God. So here, there's only two choices. Please men and be an enemy of God. Please God and have men as your enemy. Which would you rather choose?
Please God.
That's right. Men will turn on you on a dime. Remember what we said in Luke? We're teaching about the minas in Bible study. God gave minas to and said, invest them. And when I come back, remember, those that invested well, Jesus is teaching there is a reward for those who stay faithful to Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you, it's getting weird in this country, isn't it? Every sermon, every Twitter, every Facebook, we're now being censored. They've built a social score in China where if you mention you mention anything they don't like, do you have a credit score? A FICO score? Well, now they're putting in a social score for you in our country. You like to put scripture verses? Maybe for by grace you saved your faith. You just lowered your social score. But remember this when it starts getting tough for us in this country. If you please men, you cannot please God. And if you're going to please God, dollars to donuts, you ain't going to please men. So you got a choice, huh? Well, Paul said, if I mess with the gospel, please understand why I preach the way I do and we proclaim communion the way we do. If I mess with the gospel of Jesus Christ, Paul said, let him be what? Damned. I can't do that. And that's why we have to make sure that when we have communion, the Lord Jesus Christ and his taking the sins of the world on himself and dying a substitutionary death is made clear and pure and not intermingled with anything.